You're listening to EFT Radio Online, where we explore meridian tapping techniques for self-help and peak performance. By listening to this audio, you agree to the disclaimer located at eftradioonline.com/disclaimer. If you'd like to get the schedule of all the upcoming EFT radio shows and access to archive shows, please visit us at eftradioonline.com, where you can subscribe to our free newsletter.
Do you want to move from burned out to fired up? Welcome to Leave the Job You Hate for the Work You Love with Marty Murphy. Marty is a career coach, certified EFT practitioner, and former corporate captive who helps business professionals overcome the fears that keep them stuck in the job they hate.
Welcome. I am your host, Marty Murphy, and my intention, as always, for this show is to bring you helpful content to assist you along your journey to taking your own big leap into the meaningful work you love. And my guest today is Denise D., and I've had the good fortune of having Denise on this show before, and I'm excited to have her back today to talk about her Brouhaha Festival. And it's an online virtual event and a gathering for all of us who have felt unseen, evil, tainted, dirty, or just plain bad as children, so that we can become fully visible. And Denise is here today to talk to you about this and how she came up with this idea. And let me tell you a quote that I love from this. Brouhaha is about getting messy, being fully human, and fully divine. And before I introduce you fully, Denise, I have to say this totally resonates with me, because given my background and how I grew up, you know, I grew up in a situation where I had a mind of my own, but that was not supported and promoted. I was in a system, you know, where they were trying to cookie cutter us out, and I was very often considered a bad kid, inconsiderate, you know, too loud, too boisterous. And I learned to hide away who I authentically was because I ended up getting punished for it. So to me, this is so timely, and I love that you're putting this together to help any and all of us who have really felt similar to that, and we all have our own stories. So I just had to tell you that before we get started with the interview. So thank you wholeheartedly from my own heart for coming up with this and putting it together. So welcome.
You are welcome. Thank you for having me. And as this beautifully segues into the workshop that you're going to be doing as part of the Brouhaha Festival, which I'm calling... which I'm calling Forbidden Emotions, Your Hidden Power. I know that's, I don't think that's actually what you're calling it, but that stayed in my head because...
Oh, yeah, no, I love it. That's it.
All those things that you just named are emotions that we were told that we weren't supposed to have. And even today, now, like people in certain communities are like, just release that, just let that go, you know. And I'm like, I've always not wanted to do that because that's part of who I am.
Right, right. Yeah, what is that? What's the main reason you came up with this?
Because I do feel there's a lot of people that are, quote, spiritual, but aren't finding a home in what I feel is the predominant spiritual culture right now, which is the New Age culture, which I came out of. So please understand when I start to talk about this, like, this is where I learned to channel, you know, as part of a New Age community, and I have a lot of love for certain aspects of it, but I really found myself like feeling left out because I'm not just about the divine feminine. I'm just not about light and love. You know, I feel like that's almost to me how the Catholic Church was, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like we can be these ways, but we can't be that way. We're going to get a reward in heaven, you know, like you have to be docile. You have to hold these parts back. And I do feel like a lot of that light and love stuff was really necessary as we were coming into the cardinal cross that led into this current these current series of seven Uranus Pluto squares, because we were going to be making such a deep descent that I think there needed to be almost like an extra emphasis on light, because who would have gone there without that, you know?
Mm.
But now we're in the middle of that, and it's saying, like, we have to see all of us. You know, I wrote in the information for the festival that I think sometimes that wanting to be just in the heart or just in the crown or just in the third eye is being afraid of being human.
Mm. Yeah.
You know? Because that's that whole bad spiritual thing to me, and the bad is in quotes, that if it's not, you know, if it's not about other people, if it's not nice, you know, there's something wrong with you. And I want to get rid of this idea about there's anything wrong with us or there's anything to let go of or release. I just spent a few days in Hawaii on a shamanic journey, and you'll appreciate this, Marty, because the shaman that was leading us said that a lot of times, like, we could be tapping forever on some limiting belief, but it's not our real limiting belief. It's something that we believe is our limiting belief.
Mm-hmm.
So she had us go back into the time before we could speak and find our true limiting belief. And mine was that it's not safe to be magical, where I always thought mine was about, you know, I'm not attractive or I'm not worthy, you know. So it's...
Oh, yeah.
It's that kind of territory that I really want us to get into during Brouhaha, because it's so deep that we have to find what that is, because otherwise it's almost like these other, quote, limiting beliefs are things we made up to cover that. Like, one of the people there had been born and was going to be given up for adoption pretty shortly after that, and couldn't, and cried, and nobody ever came to get her. Now, how do you put words to that kind of thing, you know?
Right.
When you didn't have any words when it was happening. And we've all had some kind of similar experience, you know. I'm not singling anybody out for the experience that they had, but this festival, the Brouhaha Festival, is going to be talking about things that we may never have said, you know, because they happened before we could talk, or that as soon as we started talking about them, people told us to stop talking about it, you know, like, you're imagining that, you're crazy, that never happened. You and I have had those conversations before about things we knew were going on when we were little, and we were told that we were imagining it.
Yeah, and I think you really speak to that piece where you end up thinking there's something wrong with you, because your intuition, to me, which we're born and our intuition is just on fire,
mm-hmm.
and we learn to chip away at that and cover it up. So we know something's not right here, but then we're in conflict because, say, this authority figure in our life is telling us, well, you shouldn't feel the way you do. And you're like, but wait a minute, I feel this way. What? Like, and it's like such a disconnect. And to me, that is where self-doubt starts in us.
Yes.
And that is where we begin to question ourselves. And one other thing I wanted to say to you, which really resonates with me, is when I was 6 months old, my parents were in a head-on collision with a drunk driver. And my mom ended up in the hospital for a year. She had major plastic surgery. My father ended up in the hospital for a while. My sisters were okay, but we ended up having a nanny come in and take care of us, and my sisters were terrified of the nanny. And when I have been doing my own work on this, what I love that you're talking about in this festival is the unspoken stuff. Like, what could I have possibly said at 6 months old? And to know that,
right.
You know, it was abandonment probably kicked into me. I got into that feeling. And it made so much sense when I really went deeper with that and realized this, you know, early in life when I had no way to, like you're saying, use the words, how that impacted me. I think that that work is so powerful.
Right, and hopefully you'll be doing some of that with us and for
right.
us during the Brouhaha Festival in your workshop, which I am so excited about, that just even hearing forbidden emotions can be so polarizing, right? Because some people
yes.
are like, oh, I can't wait, you know, to get into those or to find out what those are. And I think sometimes, like, when people are confused, it's really because they know the depths of it, but they're almost like a little bit afraid of it, you know?
Right, right.
So, and
absolutely.
you're such a strong presence and also a loving presence that I think it helps open up that window or doorway for people to walk through, to go into things that they may have not normally be willing to go into. I just wanted to circle back to the intuition thing that you said and self-doubt, because this festival is very specifically for, in my mind, Brouhaha Festival is very specifically for not just people who are intuitive, because I believe that's everyone, but people with particular psychic gifts, who we've talked about this before. This can look like, in hand analysis, deep moon stars in the shaman zone, Persephone headline. So what I'm getting at with those names, and some of you may not know what those names are people who saw things that were highly disturbing at really young ages, you know, which could have looked like your parents were going to get divorced or someone was going to die, you know, or you didn't want to hug an uncle. This happened to me. Like, I knew he was molesting children, even though I had no idea what that meant. Right, but I would not hug him. So do you get the difference between, like, just an intuitive thing, which, you know what I mean, which can be like a feeling, and then people that have this specific, like, seeing, which I call the truth teller, is not always welcome, because it's just, oh, I'm getting that, blah, blah, you know, I'm getting this. It's some basically loving thing, like, you know, what's the challenge, you know what I mean? It's a great gift, but I'm really reaching out for people who, because the truth that they saw was so deep, were made to feel like some kind of scapegoat, or they brought it on, or they made it happen, or they ruined things, or something's wrong with them, you know? And I feel like we, you and I, because I consider us both to be in that group of people, are really who society needs right now.
I love that, Denise. Because I think most truth tellers in many families, they're actually ostracized for the sheer fact that it's like, you know, the authority figures of the people around them are like, nope, I'm not ready to see that. There's no way. And they'll do whatever they can. And I'm not saying they consciously go, oh, I'm going to shut them up. But they do it from an unconscious level because they're not dealing with their own stuff. So like you're saying, the truth teller sees stuff and start speaking about it, and then they learn, it's not safe to do that.
Exactly, and you know that you're one of these kind of people if you regularly hear yourself saying, like, someone should say something about that, or someone should do something about that, and guess what? That someone is you. You know, Martin and I have both made a lot of leaps in these past couple of years, are really coming to the forefront with this and doing it in constructive ways. I myself used to say something about it in what I would consider like destructive ways, and I do know that creation and destruction are part of a cycle, do you know what I mean? But it was more
totally
like destructive in the sense where I was trying to keep myself removed or higher than or better than, or
right,
I almost hope that, you know, so and so gets voted into office and it all goes downhill, you know.
Yeah,
and now I'm like, no, I want to use this gift that I have. Particularly, I have a great gift for gathering people together. I came out of punk rock community and out of a zine community where we didn't flinch, you know what I mean? I emailed people for this festival that I don't even know to ask them if they would participate, with people telling me they're not going to do it, or too short of notice, or you don't know these people. But again, like, truth tellers band together, and it's like, so what? They can say no, but it's giving people, I feel like inviting people to do things is giving them an opportunity to get their message out there.
Yes. Yeah,
and I
very
feel the same
much
way
so
about sales. You know, like, sometimes people will think we're pushy if we're selling things, but how are people going to know about it if we don't tell them about it?
Absolutely. Well, and I've studied with a gal, and I love the way she puts that. She said, you know, we have messages for people, and people need to be able to find you. And there's people actually out there looking for exactly what you have to offer. So you're actually doing the people that are looking for you a disservice not putting yourself out there. And the people that don't, you know, that don't get that, it's like they're entitled to see it the way they do. But it's so important, if you have a message to share that can be really, I think, life-changing for people, as
right,
I think this festival will be, is you got to get it out there.
So true. And I think there are some, it's interesting, Marty, that you said that, because sometimes these messages that some of us have that are the people that are presenting in the Brouhaha Festival and the people that will be coming and participating in the workshops and listening to the interview, is we've been told that, you know, we have to tame these messages down, you know what I mean? Or don't say it that way, or nobody wants to hear about forbidden emotions, you know, can't you just make it, you know, something that sounds more appealing? That's not my audience. I don't think it's your audience, you know, and it's definitely not the audience for Brouhaha. These are people who know that people need a really strong dose of a message right now. I've been having insects with venom showing up on some of my calls. And, of course, you know, like people's first reaction was, I have to get rid of that, you know. And it's like there's a particular kind of a person that a spirit animal, you know, that would have venom would show up for, you know. So it is a very strong medicine. And some people could take a message like you or I or some of the other presenters on this festival deliver as being, quote, venomous, but they're not seeing the healing properties of that.
Yeah, I like that. I like that, definitely. When I know, like, in my work, that's the thing that I so often see really liberates people. I see this so consistently, is getting in touch with that place, what I call the forbidden emotions, the emotions we're told we're not supposed to feel, think, whatever, and you're like, oh, I'm trying to shake my head to get that thought out of my head or that feeling out of my head, but you can't. Instead of knowing and embracing that and seeing the beauty and the message in that.
Yes.
So that really speaks to me.
I just so love that more people are starting to talk about that whole area that was kind of roped off, you know what I mean?
Where
think about, this may or may not have happened to everyone that's listening to this interview, and it may or may not have happened to you, do you know? But I think about all the destructive things I went through in my life, you know, from being told that you're too this, you're too that, you know, like don't say that, be this way, look this way, be more feminine, you know, be this. And just at a certain age, you know, I keep seeing this in work that I do with people that it usually shows up at like age 8 or age 12. No matter how much we were fighting, you know, it's like some part of us swallowed it.
And that's interesting, Anise, because in EFT, age 8 is a very significant age typically.
What's going on at age 8 in EFT? Because I've been wondering, like people have asked me when I kept seeing 8, what's going on in 8? So tell me about EFT at 8.
Well, it's an age that continuously pops up, and I don't know, like, the cognitive piece about that, but for whatever reason, when you ask people about, people have, you know, you want to always in EFT go to an early childhood memory, and 8 shows up constantly. I mean, I think of the number 8, and, you know, it's gotten, like, the 8 ball. There it is. It's
right.
Gotten bad press, but it's infinity. And to me, there is something, this is just more of an intuitive thought I have, there's something about that age connected to infinity where I believe we're moving, because they talk about from age 1 to 7 is we get all this information downloaded in us and it creates, quote, the personality that we show up with. And at 8, that starts to transition. So I think at 8 is when it's sort of like our last sort of bastion of, wait a minute, is everything I learned real for me? And for whatever reason, that keeps showing up significantly in that piece. That's the way I've always lined it up in EFT to see it is, you know, 1 to 7 is when it's sort of downloaded, and 8's when, man, it's another, or it's like a defining moment in our life when we're either going to go this way or that way.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I'm also thinking as we're talking about this that in astrology, the 8th house is sex, death, transformation. And it comes right after it comes right after the 7th house, which in, you know, so-called Western astrology is the house of relationship. But in ancient or esoteric astrology, it was the also the house of open enemies. Fascinating.
Oh, interesting.
So that would be like the marriage house as compared to the lover's house, which would be the 5th house. But anyhow, I don't want to go too far into that. But there's a joke that like in the 7th house, you know, like we're trying to look good in a way in that relationship. And then when you go into the 8th house, like all, you know, people's, quote, shit comes up. And if somebody still sticks around during that, like that's really a relationship, you know? And most people would not want to stick around when that happens. So it's either like, let's not talk about that, or, you know, like somebody bringing up their desires or whatever, and their partner's like, well, we can't, no, let's not talk about that, right? So that may be where someone would, you know, end up having an affair or,
right,
you know, getting those needs met elsewhere. But, yeah, 8 and 12, you know, in fairy tales, 12 It's like when people go into towers or get put to sleep and all that kind of thing. But I haven't seen like a lot of eights in actual fairy tales. But yeah, 8 and 12 seems to be where we start buying into like good and bad, or, you know,
right.
light and dark or whatever, whatever, you know. And I am not somebody that wants to integrate and merge those. I feel like it's a union of opposites, which is next to each other, you know, but keeping their own properties.
Oh, I like that. You know, I never thought about it that way, Denise. That's awesome. Because to me, there's always been that talk, you know, integration, integrating, and no, but keep them both. And if this is just an example of an emotion for me, I was raised with a father who, after I kind of cleared out a lot of the, I'll say, garbage around it for myself, I mean, I loved my father, but the truth is, when I really thought about how his behavior was, what internally I was telling myself was, he's a jackass.
Yes.
And when I was able to clear a lot of that and the rage and stuff, I came to believe, oh, God, I saw my father for really who he was. He had been a soldier. He had been a fighter pilot. He had been in World War II in the Korean War. And he had PTSD. And back when I was little, they had no name for that. They didn't even know what it was. So via going through this, and I had to go to a very dark place emotionally. Like, I had to really tap in, you know, figuratively and literally, and go to this place where at times I was tapping through what I felt was like hatred.
Mm.
And when I allowed myself freely to go through that, I felt liberated. And I came out on the other side of it. And I can tell you now, and my father is long past, I have absolute compassion and empathy for him. But I could not have gotten to that had I not allowed myself to go to that dark place that was inside of me anyway,
right,
and bring it out into the air and deal with it. And now what I see is, you know, I certainly have a capacity for rage because I grew up around it. There's constructive ways to use that. And like when I turned around one day hiking and there's four coyotes following my dog, I was able to do my best mama bear imitation I just called on what I call my inner rage and let out this most exorbitant growl, and they scattered. And that's what I love about, too, what you're putting together here is we're talking about stuff that's been like, oh, no, you know, that's not okay. Don't think that, don't feel that, and go, no.
Right.
Yeah, these steps stand side by side next to each other, and they have value.
Yeah, and I would say, Marty, and this is just my own thing, so I'm not asking anybody to buy into it, but what's more, quote, frightful to me are numb places.
Yes.
And sometimes that dark place is, you know, what, and I have that dark place in quotes, right? But sometimes that's like the place we have to pass through, not only to get to, you know, quote, a better place, but that numb place might be right behind that, or the numb place is right in front of that, right? So it's like, much like when we're doing these psychic things or learning how to channel, and we say, you know, once you know, you can't unknow, or once you feel, you can't unfeel. It's like, I think sometimes even like labeling something a dark place is keeping us from wanting to look at it, you know?
Right. Now, that's a great distinction. And actually, Denise,
I mean,
love
can be a super dark place.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
But you hit the nail on the head. Numb? Oh, my gosh. When I think about being numb, I'm like, that I almost like connote death with that, being numb. And I mean death from a place of like absolutely numb. And I mean, you think about somebody being indifferent to you, to me, that's like more palatable than somebody actually spewing hatred towards me, is indifference or numb. I love that. I love that you brought that up.
I find in energy work, and we'll have, I'll just use an example of Marie Deniker is going to be doing a workshop at Brouhaha Festival about the earth chakras and our own chakras. Which I just love, you know, but if we think about, you know, like if we'd think about, say, like, quote, numb, I'm just making this up, I'm not saying it's true, but, you know, if we were thinking about numb, like the ice frozen in winter, you know, and some act of nature would come and disrupt that, you know, we're not saying nature went to a dark place when a volcano erupts or what have you. It's like there's just a cycle of things that need to happen to take us from one place to another.
Right.
You know? And if we're thinking, oh, rage is, quote, bad or dark or whatever, and, you know, love or whatever is, quote, good or light, we may have, like, numb or frozen areas between in our body, like between those two things where they're not making a connection.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's an awesome distinction.
And that idea of, like, Earth doing the same thing is just so cool to me, because I often think that when people are in their love and light thing, that nature just does what needs to be done.
Right, right. What I know for myself,
to bring about balance, you know? I mean, it's just going to do what needs to be done, and we may as humans, like, put that on, that nature, you know, is bad because it did our tornado or a typhoon or a volcano erupted, but what do we know? Okay, you find for yourself what?
Oh, no, I love what you said. That was great. No, yeah, and I thought it's such a good distinction, too, because at the time that I was going through that process, you know, that was my language and my verbiage. It was like, whoa, this feels dark. But coming out of it, I was like, no, this is actually so healing and so liberating to know that, you know, this is going through that, going to that place is actually such a healing place. And that's the place, and I can tell you, I see this with clients I work with all the time, and sometimes you got to ease people into it, but sometimes they get it right away.
Mm-hmm.
It's that piece of, it's the place you need to go to liberate yourself. Like, I will tell people, put all that you think is appropriate on the shelf right now. You can pick that back up anytime you want, but right now, and then I'll ask them, you know, like, if they're dealing with a person in particular, what would you say to this person if you didn't have to worry about any repercussions or being appropriate? It's always amazing what people come up with. Then they, like, allow themselves that place to go to that, oh, I'll call it more of a guttural place in them, where it's like their truth comes out. And the thing that's funny about that is in us anyway. We're thinking it inside anyway. When you bring it out, boom, you can heal it. And that's, to me, what this festival you're putting together is about, is bringing out that stuff that we're like, oh, no, wait, no, oh, don't go there. Oh, now actually going, look at the liberation in shedding light, opening the door to that and taking a really good look at it.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not anti-light by any means, because you definitely, you know, I'm going to walk into my closet and I'm going to turn the light on, you know, so I want to see what's in there. I'm just, you know, I just want to, you know, when I talk, I just try to be, like, super clear that, no, I don't feel any emotion is dark.
Yeah, oh, it's great. No, it's true.
I often think, and you can probably relate to this, because I know we have some religious upbringing in common, you know, but my mother's family is from Poland, where they have Our Lady of Częstochowa, who's a black Madonna, and many cultures have a black Madonna, and many other cultures have, you know, dark goddesses. And I just love, like, Guadalupe in Mexico, and I have always loved the power in those, right? And some people, like, would relegate them to, well, they're not as good as the light goddess or whatever. But there needs to be a place for all that rage and destruction and, you know, feelings. Like, they're really broken people. I do feel like, and I mean this with all my heart, that, like, I do consider myself a light worker. And the truest light workers to me are people who have gone through a lot of really heinous things in our lives. Because I'm not afraid to take anybody anywhere, because chances are good that I've been there.
Right.
You know, and that's the way I feel with, like, Our Lady of Częstochowa or Guadalupe or Kali, you know, or any of those ones that, and Nadine Bangs Keller, who's going to be one of the presenters, one of the workshop presenters at Brouhaha, who does a lot of work with sexuality. Same thing. There's so much of us as women, like, locked up and trapped in those root and second chakras because someone told us that we weren't a good person if we felt those things.
Right.
You know, our sexuality, our power, our any kind of womanliness that's not the white Mary, you know.
Right.
Just think of other people and give everything up for everybody else, you know. So
mm-hmm.
this is definitely people come into this definitely that want to be in touch with all facets of femininity and womanhood, you know, divine feminine, divine masculine, fully human, fully divine, the whole shebang, like really owning our power and using everything that we have to create from. Because I think that's why people are broke, you know, because they're trying to be nice or good people.
Well, that really resonates with me, Denise, too. I totally see that. And, you know, you become, I think you sort of become a shell of yourself when you're always trying to be the good girl. I mean, I spent years doing that. Like I said, I was a good kid, but I got this message that I wasn't a good kid because I was vocal. I had a mind of my own, and the system that I was in did not support that. So I started, you know, that like, oh, I better shut up, and I learned to be quiet and become a shell of myself instead of embracing all of me. And I've heard this, and I absolutely believe it's true, that emotions take 90 seconds to move through us. That is not to say that they cannot come in waves through us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously we're experiencing grief or things like that. But the more I do this work, the more I find that to absolutely be true. So, and that is when we allow for the feeling. We don't try and stuff it down or get in its way.
Mm-hmm.
It moves through us so quickly. When we're stuffing it down or shooting on ourselves or I shouldn't say that, think that, feel that, it gets lodged in us. And that's, to me, to your point, is when people sort of lose sight of themselves and they're trying to be such a good person and they're burned out, exhausted, and really in something of like quietly desperate is
yeah.
a term I like to say, quietly desperate.
There's a huge difference, as you were talking about emotions taking 90 seconds to move through us, and this is just me. So, again, I'm not, you know, I'm not trying, I don't need anyone to like to buy into anything, but
mm-hmm.
I do believe that emotions and feelings are different things. The Jungians
mm-hmm.
believe that emotions are habits.
Mm.
So, you know, we were sad once upon a time at age 3 when something happened. Now, if anything similar happens, like we go to a memory of sad, which is
Absolutely.
What they call an emotion, you know, where a feeling is right now. So it's like our feelings can help us break out of those patterns of emotion. In shamanic astrology, your moon is your ancestral background. And it's
uh-huh.
also habitual, you know, so they don't want you spending a lot of time in your moon because it's like, well, that's the way my mother felt when this happened, and that's the way it's always been, and that's the way it will always be. You know, with, like you said, with the feeling, it's just, you know, I'm happy, oh, my God, you know, I'm that. You know, they don't stay for long periods of time. Like you said, we move through them really quickly, so we're going to be working with that as well. Like looking at some ancestral things. Katie Todd will be doing that workshop about So You've Been Burned for people who feel as if they've experienced past lives as witches, you know, and were burned at the stake or drowned or killed in some kind of way and just have a fear that they can't name out loud or put into words about like moving into these powers that, you know, some church or somebody may have said were witchy, you know, like being a truth teller or having a really deep knowing or herbal medicine or whatever it was. So we're going to cover the gamut. You know, we're going to cover things that may have happened in previous lives or past lives. You know, we'll be looking at things on the timeline that may seem as it's going into the future. So we're covering all bases on this, like anything that could possibly be happening for you or making you feel as if you can't move forward. Someone will be having a workshop that will help you get to the core of what it is. And this isn't like we're just giving you 5 easy ways to, you know, or 7 tips, blah, 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 or like a worksheet. I mean, you're going to be in a workshop where most of the people leading them will be doing some form of energy work that will help you shift that during that call.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
If you don't leave shifted, like, I am not going to be happy. Do you know, I don't want this to be a
talking
head festival where we're handing you out these worksheets and then just really trying to sell you into our expensive coaching programs. And I totally love expensive coaching programs, right? But this is not what this is. This is a two-week period where it's the season of death in many calendars, you know, of transition anyhow, even if it's not specifically death. But we really want to use this time of the year where the energies are so strong to help you die to the image of yourself and to die to the parts of you that aren't serving you anymore, so you can be the power and the passion and the beauty that you're here to be.
Mm.
And somebody will have this covered, you know, because there's 12 people doing workshops. I myself am going to go to all of them, and not just because I'm organizing it, because I'm fascinated by everyone or I wouldn't have asked them to do this. And there's also some poets and prose writers reading at night, you know, because we can't be work, work, work all the time.
I love it. Yeah.
We have to take care of the soul as well, you know. So some of the things are really going to be fun. Some of them will be really intense. Like, I hope to run the gamut from laughing hysterically, you know, to crying, to dancing. Kelly Eckert's going to be leading the Unleash the Animal Within, helping you meet your current power animal that wants to work with you right now, because sometimes people get stuck in what somebody told them was their power animal like 20 years ago or 5 years ago or even a year ago. And during that shamanic workshop, like Marie, who's doing the Earth Chakras workshop, was told by her spirit guide at this moment in time, her spirit animal at this moment in time, that they really want us to dance with them. So we're going to be spending some time during this festival, like, dancing with those power and spirit animals. So we really get the sensuality of that, you know. Yes, I love all those heavenly realm guides, like the angels and the Pleiadians and the Lemurians, Atlanteans, Syrians, Arcturians. But there's something so beautiful about the earthly guides. Because they are more sensual and tactile, and we can get in that crown third eye area, which God knows I spent a lot of time in, you know, but we can get, like, detached, removed, observer, you know, forget about our humanity, not be touching people, you know. So even though this is online, you're going to feel as if people are touching you, because a lot of the guides that are going to be present for this are guides of the earth, that love putting their hands on people, you know, that, because we
see
that, especially those of us that didn't have really touchy-feely, you know, huggy, nurturing, nourishing, loving parents.
That would be me and you.
Yes. and we can get so tough, Marty. We can get so, I'll just do it alone. I don't need anybody. I can do this, you know. But taking those big leaps, like I've taken them, in a way that, yes, I have the courage to do that, but sometimes when you land on the other end, you need nourishment.
So funny, Denise, because my husband, you know, Shrek and Antonio Banderas' character in that, the Puss in Boots, and his line is, I'll handle this. It's so hilarious, because my husband always says that to me, like, when he sees me in that mode, like, oh, I'll take care of it. Don't worry, I'll do it. And he's like, I'll handle this. So that really speaks to me about just allowing ourselves to be nurtured. And this is absolutely a festival that can really help us get more in touch with that. And, like, I love the earthly guides, because it so speaks to me too. Just some groundedness in that, you know, rootedness in that. And you need, like you're talking about, the balance. And I just so love that you've put this together.
Yeah, it's the time for it, because I was thinking about it for a while, and as I was working with people on Meet Your Guides or these from the beginning of the year, or more or less, you know, it was like, we really need to, and I was getting a lot of people with these really deep psychic gifts, shamanic gifts, you know, the ones who see through things, the ones who people know can see through them, and that makes a lot of people uncomfortable, you know, and it can make people with those gifts, like, kind of pull back or feel like they don't have a community, you know, and people in the middle of the country, like I take for granted in California that I can talk to anybody on the bus about
right.
astrology or guides or whatever, you know.
Yes.
But people live in places where they don't have anybody to talk to about these kind of things, you know, or they're
mm-hmm.
in a highly religious one kind or another. And I love, you know, many of the different faiths, but sometimes you just need to be around people who understand what you're talking about. So though this is virtual, it's really cool because some people don't have the money at this moment in time to, like, pick up and fly out here to Los Angeles to do a live workshop with me, you know, or to fly to where any of the other workshop presenters are and do a workshop with them. So this is a really affordable way to do a lot of workshops, and they're going to be recorded, so it's not like you have to do all 12 of these workshops in the 2 weeks that the festival is. You'll be able to listen to these recordings over and over and over again. And I'm making a plea, like, please do not sign up if you're not going to come or listen to these. This isn't one of these things that I'm trying to sell you something that you're never going to open, which, you know,
right,
is a marketing tool. Some people do that, you know, it's like, who cares if they ever open it? Like, this is really, honest to God, seriously about transforming you during these 2 weeks. So you need to show up committed. And I'm making this, like, as easy as I possibly can, because many of these people are doing workshops for way less than they ever would have done a workshop for,
mm-hmm.
and because they believe in me and what I'm doing.
Yes.
You know, it's amazing. Like, 12 people agree to do workshops for way under what they would do them for, and I'm not contradicting, like, my wealth message, because this is a sampler, you know, this is a taste.
Yeah.
They're
no.
never going to do it again, you know.
Yeah.
So now is the time to jump in, and I'm not, like, a fake person that's, like, what do you call that, Marty, where you, like, make up a value. You know, people do that all the time in marketing, like, value of $5,000.
Oh, right, right. Oh, yeah, put the value.
But nobody has ever bought it for that price. It's like we're just assigning an arbitrary value to it. So this is truly, like, my own workshop is $297, and that is what I normally charge for that. So I'm not making it up to make the pass look like a better deal.
Right.
And Kelly really does charge $197 for hers. Her and I did not come down in our prices because they're longer workshops. Some of these other workshops are 45 minutes to an hour, minus 3 hours long.
Yeah.
And they're also going to get some individual time with Kelly and I, so hence why those are staying at their original prices.
Right.
But the other people, like, either doing a somewhat shorter version of it or doing, it's like a sampler. We're just going to
mm-hmm.
be honest and call it that. So you definitely could work more with these people if you wanted to in more depth at a later time. But let's be honest, you know, most people are not having the finances right now to sit around and do in-depth work with 12 people, you know. But this is a good way just to see, like, who might be a match or even who maybe you could collaborate with.
Yeah, yeah, that's
great. Something in the future, you know, you could be like, oh, Marty, I'd love to work, you know, I'd love to do a joint venture with her or put something together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, we're not doing this like we're the experts and you're the audience, you know. It's, to me, everybody is the expert in their own life, and I gathered together a group of people who I feel more or less believe that as well, to give that power back to you, to really give you tools to step out and start charging money for your expertise. Like, you don't need some title, you don't need another training, you don't need 5 years of anything, you know. I think sometimes people just need to be around people who are doing it.
Right. No, I love it. Yes. Well, Denise, thank you so much. This has been so enlightening. And I hope our listeners, you just check this out. And like you said, you're getting samples of that. And then, Denise, tell us just a little bit more, you know, give us the dates. And just for our listeners, too, there is a link that will be, it's attached to this radio show, and you can click on that, and that's how you can sign up and access this. But I'd love for you to just, any parting thoughts you have, and give us dates and anything else you want to add.
They can definitely go to brouhahafestival.com, and that's brouhahafestival.com. /all-access pass. So all ACCESS pass. So this is a special deal, and it honestly is, because once this festival starts, the price is going to go up. So right now it's $297. You can go click on that link and see all the different workshop presenters and the amounts that their individual workshops are selling for. And definitely you can buy a ticket for any of those individual workshops. All the interviews and the entertainment at night is free. So you don't have to buy something. You can definitely come to the free interviews and the free entertainment. Yet I really think it would be crazy not to buy this pass.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get 12 workshops for $297,
yeah.
The price that it is right now.
Yeah.
We open on October the 21st with some pre-festival activities. The festival itself kicks off on the 23rd. It runs through Halloween, so 10/31, and then there's a couple days of post-festival activities. So in essence, it's 10/22 to 11/4.
Great.
So some people I know have actually, taken their vacation then or have cleared their schedule so they can come to as much as possible. So this really is going to be an immersion. It's not necessary that you do that. I mean, definitely, you can pop in and out. But I think you'd agree, Marty, there's something special to be said for actually being, quote, live on a call, even if you're on mute and the person's just talking, because the energy feels really different.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yep, very much so.
You know, but the calls will be, the energy is activated on all these workshops for at least 6 months. So I know, when I do my hand analysis with clients, some of them have listened to those recordings, four or five times. So I'm aiming for Brouhaha Festival to be the same way. You could go live to Marty's workshop, you'll get the recording, and you're probably going to listen to that recording at least a couple more times after that, because there's going to be so much going on that energetically you may receive it all the first time, you know. But your mind is going to be like, what did she say when she was doing that, you know, thing? And it's not a teaser, we'll let you know what she said if you buy this other thing, you know. Anybody with that all-access pass, whether you can be at all these workshops or not, will get recordings to all 12 of those workshops, which that alone is, I wish I already had those recordings.
Right, right.
So excited about doing some of the work, because some of these people, honestly, like myself, you know, I'm thinking this is great, because to sample their work previous to now would be, you know, upwards of $200 for most of the people that we're talking about on this festival. And you know what I mean? Financially, sometimes we're not ready to sample something at $200, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's such a great way to do it. Like you said, you're just giving people an opportunity to check something out. So before they more fully invest, you know, more of their time and financial resources, they can be like, wow, this person resonates with me, this one not so much, because that's the beauty of it. There's someone for everyone.
Yes.
And, you know, you can't, back on this side, you can't be all things to all people. So it really, I think, is such a helpful way for somebody to be like, you know what, I've been looking for this, and this person's the perfect fit for that.
And you don't want to be all things to all people.
Oh, my God, that's exhausting.
Because we both have gotten in trouble with, either working with people, you know, at times or places where we may have needed the money.
Yes.
And then kind of had to blow up, right? So another thing Brouhaha will help you do is, get really clear on your message, because people need to know that, you know? Like Marty or I, if they were showing up just expecting, you know, some very light experience, and then we're taking them into the depths of their being, they may not feel like that's what they signed up for, and then it may be challenging for both people involved, you know, the practitioner and the client. So if you're really honest about what it is that you're doing and owning your power, you're going to get a much better quality of client.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Definitely have found that to be true. And
yeah.
it's a win-win all the way around.
I so love, you know, owning these parts of ourselves, because it really does. Since the time a few months ago, I changed my name since, but when I did that branding and gave myself the name The Rebel Seer, instantly, the quality of clients went right up, just because I was naming what I was doing. I wasn't trying to hide out behind Soul Astrology.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'd be taking people into deep side, and they're like, I thought I was going to get a, you know, soul astrology reading. Like, what's going on, you know? So that's beautiful. Like there are people that that is their thing, and that's a beautiful thing, you know. But when we have, like, really strong gifts, you know, it'd be like, okay, now someone's coming in for surgery, and they're expecting to be in a luxury room, you know, with all these drugs, and we're in the middle of the woods, you know, like midwifing them, right? So the clearer you can be with your language, the better clients you're going to get. And this is a really, truly a festival of people who are very much like owning all their various energies and all the various powers that they're working with, whether they're ones that other people, quote, approve of or not. So this is a real coming out for a lot of people in this festival, too. Like, one of my clients is publicly a few months ago, like, really started using witch a lot, where she had not been up until that moment in time. And it may suddenly seem like really simple, but it's so powerful because there's so much baggage around that, you know, or shaman, like people have baggage about calling themselves a shaman, right? So you can also consider this like a festival that's really going to help you name yourself, you know, and get super clear on what exactly it is that you do and what you want to call yourself, not in this, quote, expert title realm that we're both way familiar with from business coaching, you know, which is useful.
Yes.
But there's that title for yourself inside yourself that if you're not doing that thing, that may not transmit into some kind of expert title. But my God just said this on the call I did today. If we're not doing that thing that's truly us, like, we're dead. We really are. Whether we're walking around or not, we're dead. And mine is seer. If I'm not seeing and having clients that appreciate that really deep sight, then who cares how much money I'm making?
Right. Right.
You know, so we'll be finding that out for everybody that comes in one way or another. So I'm really looking forward to that. And thank you, Marty, for interviewing me and for doing a workshop. I was like, after you said yes, I was dancing around my room like, yay! Because I know some of my clients came to your teleclass that you did a few months ago.
Yes,
yes. I just loved it.
Oh, great. Yeah, well, and I, you know, obviously, you know, I've worked with you personally, and it's phenomenal. So I can't say enough about the work that you do. And this is just even an extension of that. So thank you so much for being here, Denise. I totally appreciate it. And so looking forward to the Brouhaha Festival.
Me too. 20 days till the official opening and 19 till the pre-festival opening. So hope to see you all there. And I'll see you somewhere if I don't see you there. Thank you, Marty.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
If you're ready to finally free yourself from a job you hate, go to MartyMurphy.com and download Career Coach Marty Murphy's powerful free video series, Take the Big Leap, to learn the secrets to free yourself to live your dreams and do the rewarding work you love.